I think it's safe to say it's been a big summer for our friends at Massmoca North Adams. They opened a new building of gallery space in May. They hosted the Solid Sound Festival in June and numerous other live events throughout the summer, broke attendance records, and presented groundbreaking and globally recognized contemporary art. Okay, now what do you do? Well, you have another festival. And it's the 7th annual Fresh Grass Festival. It takes place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 15th through the 17th. Fresh Grass is a family-friendly festival brimming with bright talent on four stages and also in Massmoca's galleries, brick-lined courtyards, and grassy field. The festival is produced in partnership with by Massmoca, the Fresh Grass Foundation, and No Depression. We'll get into who all those entities are in a moment. This year's festival includes Brandi Carlile, Railroad Earth, who we just heard coming in, the Del McCoury Band, the Wood Brothers, Del and Dog, and many, many others, Suitcase Junket, Crooked Still, the list goes on and on. You can find that list at massmoca.org and freshgrass.com. Thank you. Here to tell us more are Joe Thompson, director of Massmoca, and Jody Joseph, who is the museum's director of communications, which is why she knows that it's com and not org. And we thank very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us,
Good
Joe.
Good to be here, Joe. Thank you.
Well, first of all, congratulations on a beautiful summer. You built this wonderful new building, this incredible, well, you didn't build a new building, but you housed this incredible thing in a brand new gallery. And it is a new building, right? It's a new building for you.
It's new to us. It's been sitting there since 1893.
But yeah.
It's a re-inhabitation of a beautiful building. And yeah. It was a great summer. The place has light and air in it, and we were busy as all get out. A lot of fun.
So, what do you learn from that ultimately? The old adage: if we build it, they will come. You built it; they came. Great. That. Do you learn from that experience?
You do. I think at the end of the day, it's the art matters a lot. And we're lucky to have teamed up with a really terrific group of artists who are saying something important. The James Turrell installations are deeply moving, and people like to go, and they like to go again. Laurie Anderson, fantastic work. Jenny Holzer, pointed, poignant, tough work that really speaks to issues. In short, you put a lot of really great art in these beautiful historic buildings, and people do like it.
Are you able to get inside the mind of an average attendee as to, are they coming to Massmoca because they trust you, because they've heard it's this amazing place and it is beautiful and it is inhabited, the town takes over the town of North Adams, so there's that, and oh, by the way, there's this incredible art, or is it the other side of, oh, there's this incredible art? I guess it's sort of impossible to figure that out or diagnose it, although I'm sure you would like to.
Yeah, no, exactly. I tell you, that factory campus that we occupy is a magical place, and I think that's in large part because for 140 years, people have been making things there, and you can feel it in the rolling of the wooden floors and the wavy panes of glass. There's something about the human presence doing productive work for a century and a half that registers, and I think that's a big part of it. It's a freewheeling space. Most museums are replete with security and a lot of rules, and Massmoca's floors feel a little like gymnasiums, I think, and therefore there's a kind of slightly more laissez-faire attitude that goes on. People have fun, in other words.
Yeah, it is fun. Yeah. It's very fun. You know, I was struck during the summer. We were going over to Williamstown Theater Festival, and my wife and I went over to Bright Ideas to get a beer before the show. And we're sitting there, and my wife picks up. There's a pamphlet there, and it's this book. It's a like a magazine, and it's just filled with the press clippings from the opening of the new gallery space. And it's New York Times, Washington Post, Boston Globe, Wall Street Journal. And my wife, who was a PR person, said, you die for that. Like any person in their career would die for this kind of media coverage. So you got it, and it was beautiful. And congratulations to you and to the entire team for putting all of that together and making that happen. But I'm interested in, besides congratulating you on that, because it is such an achievement, but and people really should see the piece because it's really cool. But is that a hard sell, or is it rather easy in our world, and going to these major media places and saying, hey, this is the story we have to tell?
We are blessed with such an effective program in terms of placement in the press. Jim Turrell, Laurie Anderson, like these people are media magnates to some degree. So there's so much in the program. And then Wilco and the Fresh Grass Festival, we make it, my job as the press director is fairly easy these days with Nick Cave in the big gallery and icons of the art world in the new building. And what we really love about this is that people read about Jim Turrell in the New York Times or the Washington Post, and they come to MassMocha because there's a blue chip artist that they want to see, but we expose them to galleries full of emerging artists as well. Lonnie Hawley and Don Dedeau in the new building, a Boston-based artist, Joe Wardwell, Stephanie Jameson in the main galleries. And these are up-and-coming, hard-working artists doing such great work, and it's another lovely part of MassMocha that we have these sort of lightning bolt exhibitions and moments to bring a spotlight onto some of our less known artists.
That is an absolutely terrific, great answer from one of the best directors of communications in the business. Good for you. But on top of that, you got your boss's picture in the paper a lot, and that doesn't suck. I mean, that's good, because he's all through that. I mean, artist smartest, you got him in the paper.
Well,
good for you.
Yeah, first things first.
I mean, as far as job security, that's also very good. I mean, you can sell this guy,
from
too.
From your lips, Joe. Yeah.
But you can sell this guy, too.
Which is now you're that's a piece of work.
I can go both ways. I'll let you know.
Yeah. But there is. I mean, your story to me, your story is always fascinating because it's one of continuity. It is one of great inspiration, and that you saw something, and you're a director who has been there from the ground up.
30 years now, so yeah, it begins to add up. But I think that one of the odd things about MassMocha is also one of the most beautiful in that it's a weird institution. Come on,
yeah,
you know it's got the if you
but thumb, you're proud if, of that.
All I my good work, it. you're
absolutely. But you thumb through the performing arts roster, and it involves, you know, high low, left right, up down. Comedy, country, indie rock. It's a very ecumenical, wide-ranging program. And that it kind of reverbs in the galleries, too. And I think that's part of the charm of the place, is that there's no code, really. There's no particular
quality
cut.
Quality,
I think the artists that we pick and the performers that come are living in our world and have something really important to say. I think that's probably one. But beyond that, there's not like some secret shade of gray that you have to be wearing to enter the place.
Right. So let's talk about Fresh Grass. Joe Thompson is here, director of MassMocha. Jody Joseph is with us, museum's director of communications. And Fresh Grass happens the 15th through the 17th, the 7th annual. How did this whole collaboration come to be?
So MassMocha has a supporter who's a big bluegrass fan and who was here for Wilco's first foray into the Solid Sound Festival at MassMocha, saw the potential for bringing a giant event like that, and pitched us on doing a bluegrass festival. The first year, I think we had a 6-week advance on the show. We booked a bunch of bands and
the musicians and their entourage outnumbered the audience 2-1. That one stuck in my mind.
I bet it would.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet that would. But then it's grown. So how has that happened? And what is the mantra of the festival when in programming it? What goes into that?
Sure. It's really great music uprooted is the sort of the banner that all these bands fall under. We call it a bluegrass festival, but that's a pretty loose loose and fast use of the term. We look a lot at roots music, and we take a pretty global perspective on that. There's a band, you know, an Indian Bhangra funk band in the mix this year. There'll be a dance performance performed with live music and to original film, to silent film. So it really covers a lot in one weekend.
You know, and it also covers a huge amount of territory. So the four stages are dispersed across three courtyards and the Hunter Center. It unfolds in time, Friday from 6 to midnight and Saturday from roughly noon to midnight and Sunday from noon to 8 o'clock or so. And besides music, there's film, dance. There's a contest, which is an entire festival within a festival. In the first year, we decided to give out prizes for a duo and a band. We forgot to close the door as we were judging the contest, and we looked up, and there were a couple of dozen people watching the performance. Next year, we actually propped the door open, and there were several hundred people that found their way in. And a couple of years ago, we sort of upped our game and began producing the contest in a more kind of clipped way.
And locking the damn door.
Exactly. And putting a sign saying, please come in. And now hundreds and hundreds of people come watch. I think there are 20 performers vying for, I don't know, $30,000 worth of award prizes and contracts and instruments. The bands go on. They produce. Jody, you keep track on some of these bands. They've gone all over the place.
Old Salt Union just signed a contract with Compass Records. They're on tour. Twisted Pine, Cricket Tell the Weather. These are, bands who are going on to have a significant career beyond our festival.
So in my little Joe mind, it seems that as you go on. Different than his Joe mind, by the way. But in my Joe mind, it seems that as you go into your fifth, sixth, now seventh year, that the festival gains a reputation. This is what you were talking about in regards to the awards. The festival gains a reputation, and I assume that the list is a lot longer if people want in, right? And then that becomes a process where you have to figure out who you want and who's offering themselves. who you can get and who you have to turn away.
2 years ago in October, I took a trip to Ireland, walked off the plane in Dublin, and saw a bunch of banjos sitting at baggage claim. So I walked up to these guys, and they had wristbands on. I couldn't really tell from where. And I just said, hey, I'm Jody. I work with the Fresh Grass Festival. And this Irish jig band, Fresh Grass, oh, my goodness. Like, they wanted everything to all of a sudden, you know, sent me away with CDs. And, yeah, so... So we have a bit of a reputation now.
Yeah. I'm more worried about you walking up to just Irish guys in the airport.
Why would we worry about that?
Let's go check out the banjo players.
Yeah, that's right.
Brady Carlisle's the headliner, right? That's
Saturday
the
night.
Saturday
yeah.
night. And so how did that happen? And does that set a tone when you have somebody like that? Does that set a tone for what the weekend's going to be?
I think there's still a great mix. So it'll be Brandy. So the tone will be fun and young and fresh. And but in Railroad Earth on Friday night, we'll put on a great show. We also, you know, Brandy will headline, Railroad Earth will headline. But then we go into the Hunter Center and we end each night with these massive sort of barn burner dance parties that we really love.
Whiskey Treaty Road Show, I think, is playing at that this year.
It's yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
We also love that these festivals allow us to do a bunch of to showcase a lot of local bands. So as Joe just mentioned, the Whiskey Treaty Road Show is from the Berkshires, Suitcase Junket from the Pioneer Valley. Mike and Ruthie will be there from the Hudson Valley. Happy and Adam Traum, also from the Hudson Valley. Both of those duos will be doing workshops at the festival. So it's another sort of fantastic angle.
Yeah, and that angle would seem to me an important angle to also represent what is in the region, what is in the community, what is around us geographically.
We have quite a draw this festival from both New York, Westchester, and Boston. So it's a nice, this becomes a fall retreat for people. So they're stopping at farm stands and filling up their baskets on the way in and enjoying the beautiful Berkshire Mountains while they're here.
What is the, so when you put on these big festivals like this, it is, well, here's the question, which is, what do you get out of it? I mean, there's a lot of headache, a lot of logistics, a lot of stuff. So, but at the end of the day, when you clean up all the garbage and you get out and, yeah, and the field is cleaned and you're done, what do you feel you as an arts institution get out of it?
I think that if Massmoka's audience has grown, and I have a lot of colleagues in our entire field spend a lot of time thinking about how to grow audiences and reach new demographics and new communities. And I think that music and these festivals have been transformative for Massmoka. When we first opened the museum, we clicked along at 40, 50, 60,000 a year and opened the Salle of Wit and grew that to 100, 120. When we began growing our festival footprint with our friends Wilco and Solid Sound and Chris Wadsworth and Fresh Grass, it was like somebody turned on a big spigot up there. People come, you get, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8,000 people a day. Many of those may not know what Massmoka is. It could be SPAC, for all they're concerned. It could be a set of initials in some other place. It could be a farmer's field. They find a museum there. They stumble into the galleries, and a heartwarming number of them come back. They become members. They bring their families back. And I think that if you chart Massmoka's growth, particularly with respect to our members and visitors, I give a lot of credit to the festivals. I think that people, they make music makes a very deep connection for people. They remember the place. They remember the person that they were with when they heard that song on the field. We've got a whole bunch of people who have gotten married, who have come back year after year after year because they met at some concert. They come back. So I think it's a powerful connection. Exactly. Yeah.
So is the other thing that I find interesting about Silent Sound is it, because a lot of the festivals from my understanding or often, you can set your watch by them. So it's always it's always the third week of July or whatever. Right. But Solid Sound has moved around, and it's been there some years. It isn't there other years. Yeah. But that doesn't really seem to matter because it has the following.
Yeah, Solid Sound. We sort of landed on a mostly every other year calendar, and the first year we did two in a row to kind of get a foothold, and it was in August. But then we asked ourselves, do the Berkshires really need another major, big footprint, high impact event in July and August when the hotels and motels are busy, the restaurants are full, the parking lots are crowded? And the answer to that was no, really not. But something that took place in June in the case of Solid Sound, or September in the case of Fresh Grass, that could buoy a lot of spirits along Main Street and Spring Street and communities around, and could fill rooms that would otherwise go empty. So it had a very strategic sort of economic Massmoka is a weird institution. We were founded to lift up our community from a socioeconomic point of view, at the same time to become a platform for important art. And I think by putting these events in the shoulder season of the Berkshires, we can help do that.
When the fall brochure comes out, do the merchants look at it and go, oh, goody, or, is this going to work?
Yeah.
I mean, do you get that kind of response?
That's interesting. I don't know. It's clearly, they tune in on the larger events and tune in on the larger concerts because those are notable, and they do pay attention to the opening dates. The exhibitions open on slightly different dates. We have a big one opening up this October 7th. Liz Glenn, who's going to be doing a really wonderful suite of work in the big gallery. So yeah, I think people tune in. I hope so.
So what's the best way for us to enjoy the festival this weekend, Jody?
With an open mind and maybe a full glass of Bright Ideas beer. Yeah, just come in and be ready for anything. There are bands who pop up on stages, sort of formally.
Yep.
There are bands who will pop up all over the galleries throughout the day, and those aren't scheduled. So sometimes we don't even know what's happening. Bring your instruments. This is a place, you know, we have an instrument check, actually, at the box office. So you can come, you can play your banjo. You can decide after 2.5 hours that's enough banjo for you for the day and drop it off, and it'll be secure. Fresh food. There's tons of Berkshire. We're famous for these dumplings, festival dumplings. And then a couple sort of highlight moments for me of the festival, Allison Brown, who's been with us each and every year. So she's 7 years into Fresh Grass. She puts together a collective of artists. She has a record label in Nashville. So she brings up some of her best friends from that label. This year, that includes Bobby Osborne, who's a bluegrass legend, and they're going to do a tribute to the Allman Brothers. So it's just a bunch of people on stage having fun playing music they don't usually get to play. Last year, when this happened, Old Crow Medicine Show was not scheduled to be part of that performance, but they couldn't take it. They just jumped on the stage, grabbed instruments from people, and that was the most in the spirit of the festival moment that I think we've ever had at Fresh Grass, and it was so we're looking for a repeat.
We get a great group of young musicians come from the Berklee School of Music too, which is one of the few really great music schools that has a whole specialty in American roots music, and they bring 15 or 20 musicians, and they play everywhere. You will trip over them all the time. Really fantastic, gifted musicians with chops, formal training, playing bluegrass. It's a hoot.
It's just a wonderful, wonderful event. It takes place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 15th through the 17th, it's the 7th annual Fresh Grass Festival. You can find out more information by going to massmocha.org, massmocha.org, or freshgrass.com. Freshgrass.com. You can also check it out by going to wamc.org/roundtable, and there will be links to those two sites with this interview. If you wish to hear this again, if you only heard a portion of it, or if you want to hear it again, please do that. Freshgrass.com, massmocha.org. My thanks to Joe Thompson, director of Mass Mocha, and Jody Joseph, the museum's director of communications. You two are very, very special, powerful people, and I thank you very much for being with us and sharing with us, and I wish nothing but a perfect weekend for you both.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for
appreciate
having
it.
Us.
Thank you for having
time.
Us.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Take me back in time again. Stay with me like you did then. Take me as you find.